Good morning, Reality Church. How are you guys feeling today? Is it all right? Long weekend? Excellent. My name is Lance Birch. I'm one of the pastors here, and I have the great pleasure of being able to introduce to you a friend of mine and an elder who's going to be talking to us today. His name is Leon Merrill. And Leon has been an elder for a few years here at Reality Church. And during that time, I've gotten to know him and appreciate his wisdom and his wit, sense of humor. And so I can't wait for you guys to hear this incredible message that he's got for you. He's been married to Karen, his wife, for 13 years this September 18th. So mark that down, Leon. That's a very important date. All right, good. He's been a native of Papillion and Bellevue area since he was about 8 years old. He works at the Department of Human Health and Human Services downtown in Omaha. But that's not why he's here. He's here because he has an incredible message for you. Something I learned about him that wasn't on this little bio, I learned it last service. He can crush a communion cup with his bare hands. It's very impressive, Leon. So you're in for it. It's going to be a great time today, so get ready for that. Let's welcome together Leon Merrill.
Thanks, son. Good morning. I've been at Reality Church for a number of years. I usually come to the 9 o'clock service, so if you haven't seen me before, I'm an old-timer, I guess, here. A couple things that Lance didn't mention about me is I am the youngest of 5 kids. I had 4 sisters. Mom and Dad, I'm not so different from you that I wasn't born into a family, so I have Mom and Dad, and I have 4 sisters, and as I said, I was the youngest, and as I told them in the last service, I used to try to disguise my being a spoiled child. I was a spoiled brat, okay? I mean, there's no cutting it. I was spoiled. I was my dad's favorite. I got away with things that my sisters could never even contemplate getting away with. Kind of had Mom wrapped around my finger a little bit, but Dad was really the soft touch for me. In fact, I talked him into buying me a gun. Not a real gun, but a Daisy air rifle. Anybody know what a Daisy air rifle is? Yeah, some with gray hairs know what a Daisy air rifle is. I don't think they make them anymore, and I couldn't find a picture of one online. But I secured one when I was a youngster. And, you know, those rifles, they just pump them, and then you shoot them in a loud pop. And I was using my rifle, I was a FBI agent, I was a police officer, I was a soldier. I was always coming to the rescue. That was my favorite toy at that time. Kept it clean, always took care of it, even slept with it at the foot of my bed. That's how much I liked it. You know, in my household, you know, where I was spoiled and, you know, got things from Dad, you know, my household was probably a lot like yours too. My parents argued. They argued a lot, and they argued loudly. And one night, that argument they were having spilled over into my bedroom. And Mom and Dad were going back and forth, and for some reason, you know, I didn't have a chance to clear this up with Dad before he passed, but for some reason, he grabbed my gun from the end of the bed, broke it over his knee, threw the pieces on the ground. And that moment, those things that happened, that the look on his face, the sound of the gun breaking, and his throwing it on the ground, something that is with me today, that I'll never forget those, what I was feeling. You know, I felt totally alone. Couldn't talk to Mom and Dad. You know, they were fighting, and I didn't know what was going on anyway. I couldn't talk to them. You know, I really could have used somebody to talk to. I really could have used a friend. I could have used someone that I could have opened up to. I mean, and haven't you all been that way? Something happens in your life, and you know, everything that you've thought was secure and safe, it just kind of like falls away from around you. You know, you need a real deep, committed, honest person in your life. A friend that's with you no matter what, you know, that shares your joys and also encourages you when you're discouraged and broken, just like we saw in the video. You know, and if you ever thought that you had a friend like that, only to come to discover that they're not, the relationship is good, and there's fun times, and there's encouragement, and there's some growth. But you know in your heart that some disappointment's going to come. Kind of like the disappointment we experienced yesterday. The 1 second disappointment that we experienced yesterday. But I digress. So, you know, that friend that is there, and they let you down nonetheless. You know, it's difficult situation to work through. And that friend that you thought was good, that's gone, you know, is you're still struggling. You know, wanting a close friendship and a number of close friendship is fine. You know, the fact that we see it in the media all the time, it tells us that happiness and closeness is easy to find, easy to maintain. And if we can't find those things, the problem's usually with us. If we've learned anything from social media, it's that the quantity of our friendships matter more than the quality matters. You know, indeed, as I was doing my research on for this message, I was online and kept coming up with pictures of Taylor Swift, pictures and articles about Miss Swift. And even as I was researching, doing other research, you know, searching about ancient Israel or, you know, the Book of James or whatever, she would still come up. She's everywhere. And everybody wants to be her friend. Well, except Katy Perry. Some bad blood there. You know, the woman, she's a phenomenon. You know, and I don't have anything against her. I mean, she's fascinating. She touches all areas of our culture, from, you know, music and movies and fashion. It's just a phenomenon. But what I really find most interesting about her is her friends, or rather, being one of her friends. If you're one of her friends, you can have the same status that she has. You know, and as you're close to her, you can have some things. Also, would have been good if I had that up there before. Friend, if you're with her, friend of hers, you can get love, acceptance, influence, fun and excitement. And as significant as those four are, this is it. Unlimited selfies. If this is what being friends with her is all about. So we need those kind of things in our life. You know, love and acceptance, influence, fun and excitement, somebody to take a bunch of pictures with. That's all fine. We need that. We enjoy that. The problem is that we try to get all those things, those top things, filled with other people. It never works. You can be searching and searching, and if you think you found that person, you think you can find friendship, and you think you can find those things in this life, it's not going to work. You're consistently disappointed and let down. But, you know, we don't end there. We have a message today that's going to help clear that up and help you along with that. Oh, and one other item. I know in my life, even as a follower of Christ, that I've compromised and let go some of my values and some of the things that were important to me to become friends or to stay friends with somebody. And I imagine there could be some people here today who are one email, one phone call, one text message away from entering into an entanglement like that. But I have good news. You don't have to do that. We don't have to sacrifice those things that are most important to us to have those things, love, acceptance, influence, fun, and excitement. What we're going to talk about today is being friends with God. We talk a lot about being loving God and God loving us and loving Jesus. But do we ever really stop and think that we can have a relationship, a friendship-like relationship with God? We can. And so we're going to talk about today. We're going to start in the book of Genesis. So if you've got your devices with you or your Bibles, open those up. And we're going to start in chapter 15. And this is God speaking to Abraham in a vision. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, some biblical history. Abraham, when he first shows up in the Bible, he is named Abram. God changes his life, and so he also changes his name. And another thing that was going on, Abram had just rescued his nephew Lot from a group of guys who had kidnapped him. He got together 318 people, and he went and slaughtered them and got Lot back. And now Abram is with God, and they're having this discussion. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless? Now, backing up a little bit, if you know the story, if not, I'll explain it, that God had come to Abram and told him that he was going to give him an heir to his, an heir, and then all the nations of the world would be blessed through him, which would lead to us today. But no child had come. Abram was getting anxious, so God shows up. Now, this is a vision, I know, so you need to envision this vision with me if you can. Abram is there, and he's worried. God made a promise to him. The promise isn't coming true. So God shows up and begins to talk to him. And this, as the story goes, "Oh, Lord God, what will you give me for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Now, Eliezer of Damascus was a slave of Abram's who was going to take over everything if he didn't have a son. And Abram said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man," this is God speaking, "this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." So God comes to him to reassure him. And in this vision, God must have taken a bodily form. And he must have come up close to Abram and put his arm around him, knowing that he was distressed and that he was worried, just like you would do with your children. You know, if one of them was hurt, you know, falling down, skinning their knees, whatever, and they were across the room, you wouldn't stand across the room and just say, "Hey, oh, it'll be all right. Mommy loves you. You'll be okay." No, you'd walk over there. You'd put your arm around him. And this is what God is doing with Abram. You know, Abram's worried. Abram's distressed. He comes up, puts his arm around him, and says, "Hey, you know what? This promise is going to come true." In fact, he takes him outside and says, "Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you were able to number them, so shall your offspring be." God reassures the promise to him, tells him that you're not only going to have one son, you're going to have so many descendants that you cannot count them all. And those descendants, as I said, you know, the line of Christ came to us, and we're part of that. So God blesses Abraham, gives him a promise, and Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Now, what that means to us is this. If we want that relationship with God, that relationship of love and acceptance and getting that void filled within us, starts with faith. He believed God, it changed his life, changed his relationship, and that's how it starts with us. It starts with faith. Now, moving on. There's another guy in the Bible. He's a king, and his name is Jehoshaphat. And this is in 2 Chronicles 20, verses 6 through 7. Now, 2 Chronicles isn't This is the most exciting book in the Bible. But it does have some really good parts in it, and this is one of them. There's a king Jehoshaphat, and the nation of Israel is surrounded by some enemies. God had driven out their enemies, gave them the land to live in. The people disobeyed. You know, sorry, the people disobeyed. The other armies gathered strength again, and they were going to attack them. So the people, Jehoshaphat and the people get together, and they start to pray. Now, Jehoshaphat has a good idea. He thinks, well, you know, God responds to prayer. Why don't we do this? Why don't we get all the people together, and then we can pray to God so that he can help us? You know, he knows God likes widows, so he gets some widows together. He knows God likes orphans, so he gets some orphans together. He knows God likes blind people, the disenfranchised, so he gets them all together, and they all come together to pray to God for help. And God works a miracle for them. They don't even have to fight. God just tells them, "Stand still. You know, I'll take care of everything." And they do. And God destroys all the armies that are around them. So King Jehoshaphat, using his faith, well, let's read it. "Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend?" So the king had gotten the people together. They defeated, they prayed to God. They defeated the armies. And Jehoshaphat was acting on his faith. Jehoshaphat was trusting God. He was trusting the relationship that he saw that God had with Abraham, his friend. So what we've learned from this, that God wants us to act in faith. You know, we have a faithful relationship to him. He wants us to act in trust. And that's how we build that friendship with him. That's how we build that relationship with him. That's how we come to enjoy him. And we see that in these two passages. We have another one. We're going to take a look at the book of James. Just a moment here. This one isn't on the screen. So remember when Lance taught us about practically faithful? He went to the book of James and he taught us how to live lives of faith that honored God. Well, so we're not going to talk about that. Lance summed that up very well. So I'll go ahead and read the whole passage to you. This is from James chapter 2, 23. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Here's where we see trust in God, faith in God coming together, resulting in friendship with God. Abram had to sacrifice his son Isaac. You know the story. God comes to him, says, sacrifice your son, your only son, the most precious part of your life. I want you to take him to an altar and sacrifice him. Doesn't happen. God intervenes in the last moment. And so Abraham keeps his son, but he proved his faith, he proved his trust, he proved his friendship with God by his actions. Now, you may have noticed I interjected something there, some testing. If you want that faithful relationship with God, if you want to enjoy him the way he wants you to enjoy him, there's going to be some testing. There's going to be some God coming to you and asking you to let go of some things. And if you're anything like me, God shows up, hey, Leon, you need to let go of something in your life that's hindering it. And it's like, sure, Lord, I'll just let it go. You know, whatever, you know, no problems asked. Well, no, that doesn't happen. You know, that's a lie. No, I'm hanging on to whatever it is as tightly as I can for as long as I can until he can painfully remove it from me. But God's going to come to you, and he may ask you to take a look at the most precious areas of your life. And when I said most precious areas of your life, if you thought, well, Leon, that reminds me, the most precious area of my life I'm almost out of, and I got to stop at Walmart on the way home to get some. No, God's not that part of your life. You know, if you need a password and a username to get to the most precious thing in your life, God's not the center of your life. So you might want to rethink those things. God's probably going to visit with you about those things. So, what have we got so far? Faith in God begins the relationship. And if you're new to Christianity, let me back up a little bit. If you're new to Christianity, or you're just checking things out, I want to see what this whole Jesus thing is about, faith in God is where it begins. That relationship with Christ, that saving relationship with Christ, begins with faith in him. But if you've been in the faith for a while, faith in God starts that relationship, acting on that faith, just like Jehoshaphat did, putting things together, putting people together so that he could get the results he wanted from God, and then submitting to his testing results in friendship with God. That longing that you have, that hole that you have, that part of you that needs to be filled, that's how it's done. It's not easy, you know, particularly the testing part. It's not easy. And God's going to come to you just like any true friend would and let you know, hey, there's some things that need to be changed. There's some things that need to be adjusted. Not that you earn anything from him, but just so that you could have more of him in your life, there'll have to be some changes made, and they're not always easy. So those things help you result in friendship with God. There's one other passage I want to look at, and that's in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 11 through 15. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples as they're having their last meal together, their last teaching session together, before Jesus goes to the cross. Notice what he says. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. Jesus calls them friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jumped ahead too far. But so Jesus calls them friends. For all that I have heard, I have made known from my Father, I have made known to you. If for any other reason you can have a friendship with God, it's because Jesus calls you one. You know, we take the words of Jesus here very seriously. You know, Jesus says that we can be his friends. Jesus says that we can enjoy a relationship with him, not just the love relationship, which is certainly significant and we should certainly be involved with that, but we can have that relationship that ease of just being with someone that you can talk to about anything, that ease of someone just to hang out with, that ease of just a friend. That's what Jesus wants to experience with me. That's what Jesus wants to experience with you. He wants you to enjoy him. He wants you to delight in him. He delights in you. He delights over you. He wants you to share a part of his life. Friendship, this way, is how it's done. So we talked a lot about faith and about friendship, and it results in faith in God is friendship with God. As we exercise our faith, as we enter into that relationship with Him, we have that friendship. Now, what do we do in light of that? What steps can I take? What things can I do in order to enhance that, to grow in that, for a relationship to flourish? Not just to have a friendship. That's great. But if you want it to flourish, if you want it to enjoy it, there's some things we need to do. And they involve starting and stopping. The first thing you can do is you can stop the striving. You can stop seeking acceptance, love, security from everything and any place other than God. You can stop now. I know that can be very tiring. It can be very trying. And it's never ending. God has what you need. You can encounter Him. You can encounter Him as a friend. It starts with faith. You can stop the fight. There's also something we need to start. You can start to think. Oh, please think and imagine of what your life would be like if you looked at God as your friend. You looked at God as that perfect friend who will do anything for you, that perfect friend who has done anything for you, who has gone to the cross. If you ever doubt about what God's going to do or how He feels about you, look at the cross. Look at the resurrection. Look at the fact that Jesus came from heaven, set aside His glory, came from heaven, took on flesh, endured all that a human being can endure, and that means all that a human being can endure, in order to be friends with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be close to you. He wants that relationship. See, newsflash, gang, God isn't anything like us, okay? He doesn't have the insecurities and the doubts and the fears that we have. He doesn't need to come to us so that we can build Him up. You know, whether we worship Him or not, He's worth being worshipped. Whether we think He's great and powerful and awesome or not, He's great and powerful and awesome, no matter what. He's here because He wants to be. God loves us by an act of His will. True enough. God will never stop loving us. He will never turn from us. He'll never turn His back on us. There is all that true, that willful part of Him. But there's also an emotional part. There's a part He wants to be here. He enjoys you. That's why He created you, so that you could share in the fullness that He shares with the Son and the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they're all in what's called the happy land of the Trinity, just enjoying one another from all eternity. And you can enjoy that as well. That's what eternal life is. Just enjoy the life of God in you, the very life of God in you. Not just, I've come to Christ and He poured some eternal life on me and now I'm going to live forever. No, it's not that. It's God comes inside of you, and you have His very life in you, and He wants you to share that with Him. That's why He came. So we can have that just through our faith. Another thing we can do, this is the interactive part, we can start calling ourselves friends of God. You know, we talked about Jesus saying that He was no longer going to call His disciples servants, and He was going to call them friends. Well, we're going to do that right now. Okay, and in traditional way we do it, on the 1, 2, 3, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, and you're going to go, friend. I am a friend of God. You ready? 1, 2, 3, I am a friend of God. Pretty good. One more time. 1, 2, nice and loud. 1, 2, 3, I am a friend of God. Pretty good. See how easy that was? Now, if we can just get that into our thinking and get that into our living, taking the angle, taking the viewpoint that God is not out to hurt me. He's not out to take. He's not out to confuse me. He's here for me. He wants me to enjoy Him. He wants me to enjoy all that He has to offer. We can start behaving as friends as well. You know, those of you who have good relationships with good friends, you're going to understand the things that I'm going to say here, because you probably do them all. You spend time together. Who here has a good friendship where you never spend any time with somebody? Well, nobody. You can spend time with him. You can get to know him. You know, I've been married a number of years, and they've all been great, and I've gotten to know my wife quite well over those years. If I still knew as much about her when I first married her as I do now, That's not a good marriage. That's not a good relationship. I've gotten to know her over the years. So get to know him. Spend time with him. Spend time in life groups. Spend time in the Bible. Spend time at Reality Church. Whatever it takes, get to know him. Take an interest in what interests him. Now, God has a lot of interest in the world. Broken people, hurting people, sinful people. Oh, that would be everybody, okay? Broken. So God is interested in all of them. So taking an interest in what God takes an interest, Big Live, we've got slots. Roger will tell you about that later. Slots to fill. Those are the sorts of things that interest God. So taking interest in what interests him. Listen and respond. Open yourself up to him. And finally, allow yourself to be vulnerable, knowing that true friends will occasionally tell you things that you don't want to hear. You know, God will confront you with some honesty. God will send people into your lives that will confront you or speak truth into your life. That's the politically correct way to say it. Speak truth into your life. It's no longer a confrontation. It's speaking truth into someone's life to help them in their spiritual journey. Oh, I do have one other. And the last thing is, tell others about him. I'm sure you all have friends that you just can't stop talking about, that you got to text and email and get on Facebook or whatever you do, where you just can't stop talking about them. Well, you can have a friend, the greatest friend in the world, the friendliest, happiest being in the world. You can have a relationship with him, and you can enjoy that, and it can change your life. You need to tell somebody else about that. If you haven't entered into that, we can tell you how, we can show you how. But if you're already in it, and you're opening yourself up, and you're growing in it, tell others about him. Faith in God is friendship with God. We exercise our faith, we have that relationship with God.